and an honor to be back here with your pastor and his wife in this precious church. You don't know how much your pastor and his wife has influenced the church in Antigua. Your worship, where you come to the altar to worship, we took that back to Antigua and said, guys, we got to do something a little different. And ever since then, they've been coming to the altar. And then your pastor believed enough in us to send a group of people down in 2011. It was our first youth camp, 2011. Amen. And your young people were a part of that. And it was, it's all right, Mom. And it was a blessing. You know who's preaching our youth camp this year? Jerry Jones. You believe we could have Jerry Jones preaching a youth camp in Antigua? Amen. I believe God is preparing the church for the miraculous, for the things that we read in the book of Acts. These young people that were here tonight and those that weren't able to be here, you need to keep investing in them. Amen. You cannot go wrong when you invest in your young people. Amen. For them to hide the word of God in their heart. They are the energy of the church. They are those that can produce like we can't because we get tired now. I even take a break once in a while, believe it or not. That wasn't me. But, you know, it's you're getting up there a little bit. God, like Pastor was saying tonight, why would he even look to us to do anything for us? But he's seen something that he could use to bring glory to his name. You understand, everything that we are is not because of what we are. It's because of who he is. And he works through us. So he invested in us on the cross so he could have a people called by his name, blood bought, blood washed, that we could be the glory to this world that sits in darkness. And the Bible tells us gross darkness, but yet we are lights to shine, and all we are is a reflection of who he is. Amen. And I am so thankful. Amen. And your pastor and his wife and the leadership here, you take a stand for holiness. We appreciate that. And we take a stand for holiness. And you have helped us and you have encouraged us to do that. And we will not change and we will not waver. Amen. I ain't going to bow to this world. I'm not a part of this world. Amen. People need to see something that's real, right. Something that's true. And if we look like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, why should they come by us? You need to give them something to look forward to. Amen. Something that you can look to. Amen? So I can't overemphasize the impact or the effect that this church has had on Antigua. You are more a part of it than you know, than you can imagine, but you are. Amen. And we are thankful for all that you guys have done for us. We got a little video we're going to show you of what's kind of been happening this last year. God is an awesome God. Yes, amen. Amen. And we thank him for it. And right now, our son Benjamin and our daughter-in-law are down there with our grandson Isaiah, and they are doing a good job. They had some situations today. Benjamin called up and said, Dad, you won't believe what happened. I said, oh, yes, I will. And what God is doing is taking them and training them and giving that wind to blow to give them a little something that they need to be rooted and grounded. Amen. If you would, go ahead. Amen. Anybody that's been to Antigua, it's only 108 square miles, but that's the view you're going to have when you come flying in to the island of Antigua. That's Hawksbill Bay and Five Islands.
I've been changed.
And that little boat there, that's came to first service, got the Holy Ghost, got baptized. Andrea, she got a Bible study from Outreach, and for a whole year she never did nothing. But she found a paper and called us and said, come pick me up. Amen. So don't worry about it. Plant the seeds. Amen. Some plant, some water, but who gives the increase? God gives the increase.
I see shadows.
Mary, he came on Outreach, got baptized the Sunday before I left, filled with the Holy Ghost. Raquel called up, said, I want to come to church.
Broken,
I was told that if I come to your church, I can receive the Holy Ghost. That's exactly what happened.
Beautiful.
Amen. Sister Telemar, right after she was baptized,
and
amen,
you're helping
years
me.
Old in Sunday school, God filled her with the Holy Ghost.
To
not only
believe.
Her, but two young men, 5 years old. Amen. Sister Victoria is doing a tremendous job teaching Sunday school.
Me.
Amen. Not only that young people, but she's prayed a number of young people through the Holy Ghost.
There's nothing too dark,
up there and the ladies are looking like, what do we do?
No,
well, they all went over there and they started
alive,
praying. And you can see, amen, and the young
destiny.
Give Jesus a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. So far this year, as far as I know, we're at 14 filled with the Holy Ghost, and 6 have been baptized in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Can we give him a hand clap of praise? If you'd please stand tonight, I want to talk to you for just a little bit about pursuing the promise. And we know the Bible says that his promises are yea and they are amen to them that believe. Amen. If you will believe God, his promises can be a part of your life. And as we look at the book of Joshua, chapter 1 and verse 5, we will find that Joshua is facing a foreign army. A land of hostile people that ain't really willing to give up what they have to Joshua and his people. But this is what the Lord tells Joshua in verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Instruction. Be strong. Be of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And he repeats himself, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. Pastor, would you pray? The Amen. You may be seated. Joshua is about to face a hostile situation. He's going to war. The church today is in a battle. We are fighting against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. God has called the church to be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, for I will not leave you nor forsake you. Like he promised Moses, he's promised Joshua, he's also promised the church. So many times we'll use stories out of the Bible and sometimes out of the old, and people will say, well, how does that apply to me here today? Well, we're going to look at Joshua's situation, how so much it parallels with the situation of the church today. The Lord promised Joshua, I am going to give thy people, because I promised their fathers an inheritance, you, Joshua, will give to those people their inheritance. If you go to Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 11, we will see how God has promised the church today an inheritance. Amen? And in Ephesians 1 and verse 11, we're going to read, in whom also we have obtained what? An inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him, that is Jesus, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Verse 12. That we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. We are to be the praise of his glory. Amen. In other words, when God takes a people out of this world, cleans them up, and puts them on the right path, it is to demonstrate his glory. Not that we are anything in and of ourselves. Because Jesus, as a man, said, I can do nothing of myself. And neither can we. But when God cleans us up, like all you ladies that have those nice china cabinets and you like to put all your stuff on display, don't you think the Lord likes to put his stuff on display to show you off to the world? This guy here, he was a drug addict. He sold the stuff. He messed up so many people's lives, but now look at him. He's preaching the gospel. Look at this. We had a lady work for us when we had the greenhouse. While we're potting plants one day, she was originally from Mexico. She grew up with no parents. She lived with her grandma. She had to kill rattlesnakes for food and all this stuff. And she started telling us how she began to live her life in Mexico as she grew. She was a hit lady for the mafia. She used to kill people for... And mom's potting plants with her going like, okay, you used to kill people, huh? But you know God filled her with the Holy Ghost? Do you know she was baptized in the name of Jesus? A hit lady. God really doesn't care about our past. What he's concerned about is our future. And we can only have a future in Christ. Get verse 13, because we're going to go to verse 14. As we continue, we are his glory. He puts us on display. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. You got to have a preacher. Amen. To hear the truth. Amen. The gospel of truth. Amen? Amen? The gospel of your salvation. In whom also after ye believed ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm going to pursue the promise, church. Amen. I tell you, when God got a hold of my life and I got baptized, I never felt so clean in all my life. Amen. But I didn't get the Holy Ghost right away. And I really believe it was just God teaching me how to pray. I was the first one to the altar and the last one to leave. Man, I wanted the Holy Ghost bad because I was believing, man, if I don't get the Holy Ghost, off with my head. I'm going to die like that unless I get the Holy Ghost. That's just what, you know, I was kind of taught and what I believed back then, back in 82, that you better have everything or you're going to be in trouble if all the things happen that they say is going to happen. So I wanted the Holy Ghost. But God was just teaching me, you got to seek my face, boy. So that's what I did. I was the first one to the altar and the last one to leave, and I didn't care. And I learned how to seek God's face. Amen. And then when God seemed fit, he filled me with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because only God can do that. Right. Amen? Verse 14 tells us about an inheritance. Look at this. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. And we know that we were purchased through the blood of Christ. Amen? Amen? Unto the praise, once again, of his glory. God isn't ashamed of those that love him, those that want to live right for him. Amen. He's not ashamed of those that call him Lord and Savior and Master, those that would humble themselves before him. He's not, but if you're ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of you. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. It's so awesome to watch what God does through us. Amen. Like I said, we can't do anything of ourselves. But it's so neat when God just says, go talk to that person, or go pray for that person, and you begin to pray for them, and God heals them right there. It's like, wow. Or you begin to pray for that person because they said they would like the Holy Ghost, and you're on the sidewalk, man, and all these people are walking by you on the sidewalk. And while you're praying for the person to get the Holy Ghost, they got their hands lifted up on the sidewalk, and they begin to speak with other tongues. Now, I've prayed for people on the sidewalk, and sometimes, you know, you're nervous because you don't want your friends to see you because you're not in the church yet. And why would you have your hands lifted up and why would you be praying on the sidewalk? But I'm not ashamed of Jesus. And this one guy I was praying for, man, he was looking all around, all kind of nervous. I said, man, just close your eyes and think about Jesus. I'll pray. Don't worry about it. And he started coming to church. Amen. He got baptized. Why? Because we're not ashamed of Jesus or who he is. Amen. Amen. God is so awesome. But I think we got to go back to Joshua chapter 1, maybe. I got to think here. Somewhere in there. Yep, Joshua 1, verse 9. The third time in four verses, he repeats himself. Look at this. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. You got to understand something. This guy's facing a walled city, and he's going to have to take this walled city with the men that he has. Amen? And it goes on to say, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. When we find the will of God for our life, the only thing we need to do is walk in it. Amen? So when you know the will of God for your life, start walking and keep walking. Amen? That's what Joshua did. When he knew what he had to do, and God continued three times in four verses, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, don't be dismayed, I'm going to be with you. And God is the same promises today. If you will go out there and be my light and witness and pull down the strongholds that this church faces today, and there are many, but we don't see them because we don't fight against flesh and blood. Joshua fought against flesh and blood. We don't. But that's where the prayer warriors come in. Do you know that there are people in Antigua tonight or today that are praying for this service and they have fasted for this service that God's will would be done for you guys here? So you got people in Antigua praying for you all as you have prayed for us all. Amen? And we's all Southern because we's all together. Amen? Going on, what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16. Amen? He tells us in verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build whose church? My church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you could get ready, pull up Matthew 28, 19 and 20. But the Lord says to his disciples, the group that was there that day, he said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against what? My church. If we are a part of the body of Christ, then we are a part of the church. And if you read in the book of Jude, those having compassion go into the fire or into hell. The gates cannot stop them. We can go into the hood and we can pull the people out of the fire, because the gates of hell cannot stop his church. He is building his church, and the gates of hell cannot stop his church. His church is mighty. It is strong to the pulling down of every stronghold. There is nothing that Satan can do that can stop his church. You guys sung about it tonight, man. They tremble at the name of Jesus. There is no other name like Jesus. And we have the right, the responsibility to take that name to the highways and the byways and pull people out of darkness to give them a light and revelation. That's pursuing the promise. Lord, you've promised it to the church that the gates of hell are not going to prevent us from going in and pulling the people out. Amen? And it's so neat. I like the best times in outreach is when we go to the worst part of the city or villages. The ones that are all messed up on drugs and the hookers. And all. Man, we were in a hooker house one day and didn't even know it until they walked in and they seen all the ladies sitting around and the guys were playing cards or whatever, and the madam that kind of run the place, she just went like this to our guys and they said, okay. When the guys got done playing their little cards, she went, okay, do your stuff. And by the time they left the hooker house, the guys and the ladies, they're all hanging on the hands, and our guys were praying for them. They're bawling and weeping and crying. Uh-huh. God wants his church to go where most people don't want to go and show them that there is a God that loves them, who's not worthy of any kind of love at all, who has been bad and messed up in every way possible, but yet I want you. Amen. One of the main drug lords in Antigua, his name's Color Color. We were on outreach one Saturday morning, and Dellen knows him because Dellen got drugs from him and sold drugs and guns from Color Color. This guy, man, he had tattoos all, I mean, face, arms. Yeah, he was. That's why they call him Color Color. He was every color under the sun. He was one of the main drug lords in Antigua. And I said, I'm going to go talk to him. He says, that's no problem. I know him. So Dallas, come. And we walked up to Color Color. I said, Color Color? I said, I'm Pastor Smith from Praise Tabernacle. I said, I would love for you to come to my church and let Jesus get a hold of your life. He says, man, my mama's always praying for me, and she would really want me to come to church. He says, but right now, you know, I'm kind of, I said, that don't matter. I want you to come. Now, Color Color never did come. But I tell you what, I got to witness to him, and he received the word of God. When I left, he said, thank you, Pastor, for talking with me. We shouldn't worry about who God allows us to minister to. What we should worry about is, Lord, help me to say the right things. Let me walk in thy footsteps. Let me say something that would prick their heart, that would cause them to say, what must I do to be saved? Church, I'm going to pursue the promises of God. They are yea and they are amen. Oh, okay, we just go there. Matthew 28, look at this. And in verse 19, he says, what? Go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing. So we're supposed to go and what? Teach. That's why Bible studies are so important. You can't get everybody to the church. So you need to say, would you allow me to share the word of God with you in your home? Or you can come to my house? Now, you can't really do that too easy in Antigua, because if you've seen some of their houses, they ain't got no room. When you walk in the front door, you kind of walk between the couch and the table, and then you get to the kitchen, and then you're in their bedroom, and that's it. There is no place to have nothing. You sit outside. It's cooler out there anyway. because you get a breeze. Church, we're to teach and to baptize. And then in verse 20, he commands us. Look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, like he told Joshua, I'm always with you. Look at, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. We get the same promises that Moses got, that Joshua got. But we're to go, we're to teach, we're to preach the gospel to every creature. Going back to Joshua. Amen. And chapter 3 this time, and verse 3. And it reads like this, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then shall ye remove from your place and go after it. In other words, we're supposed to follow the ark of God or the presence of God and his priest, the priesthood. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it. But this is the reason, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. If you don't have a man of God in your life, Joshua told the people, I want you to follow the priesthood because you don't know where to go. God sent him to lead you, to guide you, to teach you. It's your pastor, it's the man of God that God has placed in our life because we've never been there before. When God calls us out of darkness, I don't know what to do and I don't know how to do it. So God puts men and women in our lives to teach us the way to go. And he goes on, it just gets better. He goes on to tell us, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. In other words, you ain't never been that way. So you ain't gonna make it unless you follow the man of God. Because you've never been that way before. You've never been there. And only he can take you there. That's why everybody needs a pastor. You can't make it on your own. You need a church. You need a pastor. You need a preacher. You need a teacher. Amen. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do what? Wonders among you. They're getting ready to go through the water, church. Amen? And we know that you need a pastor to baptize you. You're getting ready to go through the water. Amen? We know what it says in Acts 2. And pull up Acts 2 and 36. I like this about Peter. Approximately 50 days prior, a little bit more, whatever, Jesus was getting ready to be crucified. Peter followed Jesus to the high priest court. So he's outside warming himself by the fire. A little servant girl comes up and says, hey, you one of his disciples? No, I don't know the man. And then another one, surely your speech berayeth you or whatever. He says, no, I don't know the man. And we know what happened to Jesus. He went to the cross. Now this is Pentecost, and we know that it says that you shall receive after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Back then, he wouldn't even stand up to a little servant girl. Now, the very men that put Jesus on the cross, look at verse 36 of Acts 2. Amen? Tells us, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. To a Jew, Peter was saying, he's the Almighty, he's the Christ, he's the Anointed, he's the one we've been looking for. And you killed him. If they killed Jesus, they could also put Peter on a cross too. But Peter had the Holy Ghost. He had enough backbone to say, you killed your Messiah. So their response was, verse 37, what shall we do? And what did he do? He did exactly what he was told to do, to preach and teach. He told him, ye must be born again, you know, of water and spirit. You need to repent, get baptized in the precious name of Jesus so you can have remission of sins. Amen. Okay, back to Joshua, I think. Yes, Joshua 5. All you men will appreciate this. Joshua 5, starting in verse 2, says, at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Come on, once is bad enough. But he ain't saying you got to do it again, but there were some that weren't circumcised. We'll just go down to verse 5 to shorten this up. It says, now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. Before we do anything for God, we got to be right with God. I really don't comprehend or understand why God did this. God called Moses to be who? The deliverer for his people Israel. But Moses didn't circumcise his son. And it said God was ready to take him out. You're going to kill your deliverer? Yes, because you didn't follow my instructions. And if it wasn't for his wife, God might have took Moses out. Thank God for good wives. Amen. Amen. I got one amen. And here, before they were ever going to take Jericho, these men had to be circumcised. Thank God we don't have to do it like they did it. Go to Colossians 1. Amen. And it's verse. We'll get there. Colossians 1. Oh, sorry. Colossians 2 and verse 11. It reads, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism. It's so important, church, to be baptized, to die in repentance and to bury that old man, amen, so our sins can be washed away and remitted. Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead to your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath quickened him, or hath he quickened together with him, having forgiveness, or have forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. We're all guilty, church. Which were contrary to us and took it out of the way. How? Nailing it to the cross. Amen? In any battle, in any war, and I was in the military, I was in the Marines, I never fought no place, but I played army or war, or whatever you want to call it. We practice. But you got to realize something. When you are in a war or in a battle, somebody's going to die. Somebody must die, or there is no victor. There is going to be death in this battle. First, we die to self so we can be a part of God's army. But once we become a part of God's army, then the enemy has to die. The enemy of our soul. And by living a godly life, a sinless life, which we have the ability to do through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why Jesus said, I was tempted in all ways like as you, but without. And if he can do it, we can do it through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, I can't do it by myself, but through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So he makes us the soldier to pull down and to take out the enemy of this world. His church is victorious. It's so nice that we can read the back of the book. We win. Amen. If you stay on the right team. Amen. There ain't nothing out there, church. Amen. You get in the Lord's camp and in the Lord's army, and guess what? He takes care of you. Amen. He watches out for you. He is so good to us. Matthew 26, and I think it's Jesus said, as he's praying in the garden, Matthew 26, 42, he went away again a second time, or the second time, and prayed, saying, O Father, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. It cost Jesus everything. Our sins cost Jesus everything. Is it not right for him to ask everything of us? Should we not be willing to give him all of us? But how many times do we want to hold back, or, but I kind of like to do this little bit of whatever, Lord. Can I just hang on to this? But it's like the moon. When you got fleshly desires and worldly things in your life, you're only partly shining. But when the world gets out of the way, when the flesh gets out of the way, you can be a full moon. But when the world and the flesh is in the way, his glory cannot shine through us like it could if we would just give him all, get rid of all the garbage that is not necessary. The things of this world are so temporal. They might satisfy for a moment, but they cannot keep you. How many times have we gone to doctors and they say, I don't know what's the matter. I don't know what to do for you. And I can tell you myself, I have testified to doctors that have told me they don't know what to do. I had severe migraine headaches for a long time, and they did this test and that test, and they just said, well, we don't know what to do, Mr. Smith. I said, fine. I know who can fix it. Jesus will fix it. And I know Morn got out of that hospital, and those headaches never came back ever, ever, ever again. Now, it wasn't that I wasn't asking Jesus first, but maybe he had me there to testify to them. Because I believe Jesus could do it. And sometimes we just got to bear stuff for a while till it's gone. Amen? And it's amazing. So I thank God for saying, not my will, but thine be done. Going on to Joshua chapter 5 and verse 9, we read as Joshua is ready to go into Jericho. It says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Therefore, the name of that place was called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover. In other words, the blood's applied. Amen? On the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn and the land of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. Verse 12. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more. What God was telling Joshua, ain't no more grocery store for you, buddy. You want food? I know where to get it. Jericho. But it's going to cost you. You're going to have to do something to get it. You hear what I'm saying? Those promises are out there that God gives us, but sometimes he just shuts off the manna and says, ain't no free ride no more. If you want food, go get it. And those people are hostile. They're not going to open up their houses and their cupboards and doors and say, help yourself, take all you want. They locked up the city tight and they said, just stay away. But yet, God said, go get it. Do you know that if you study history, there have been many commanders and generals and stuff that have tried to take foreign lands, and when they got to the foreign land on the ships or whatever, you know what they did? They sunk and they burned the ships. You know why? They told their soldiers, we ain't going back. We're not going back to Egypt, Joshua. We're going to receive our inheritance. We're going to receive the promises of God, but we're going to have to fight for it. Sometimes we got to fight so we can receive the promises of God. Like I said, we don't fight flesh. But there are spiritual things that come against you that would hinder you, that would stop you. Oh man, I am so tired right now. Bam, I got a flat tire and car don't want to start. Pastor, I don't know if I can make it. Well then walk. I'm going to do whatever it takes to make it. I'm not going back. I've gone too far. I'm going to pursue the promises of God. He said, the gates of hell ain't going to prevail against me, the church. And the church is going to go into hell and it's going to pull those people out. And we are going to be victorious. We are going to pull down the strongholds that are in this world. Because God has given us the promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am going to be with you always. And I am going to show my glory through my church. You know what it's like when you go pray for somebody in the hospital and they just rip out the tubes and the hoses and say, I'm out of here, man. And the doctor is saying, you can't do that. And he said, oh, yes, I can. God just healed me. Oh, he can't do that. Oh, yes, he can. And we know there's stories like that where people just, man, I'm out of here. You ain't poking me no more with them stupid needles. I'm out of here. God, heal me. Benjamin. It was just him and one other young man in the park on a Saturday morning in Des Moines, Iowa. This guy's walking through the park, limping. And Benjamin goes, what happened, man? What gives? The guy said, well, I was riding my bike down a hill and this car ran a red light and bam, I slammed into the side of it and busted my knees and the doctors can't do no more. He just said, well, can I pray? My God's able to take care of that. That's no problem. We said, I got nothing to lose. Pray, man, pray. And while him and that, he was about 23 years old at the time. And so was the other man about that old too. Just those two young men. And they laid their hands on that man in the park in Des Moines, Iowa. And as they began to pray, the guy takes off running. He goes, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. He comes to church on Sunday, man, gets the Holy Ghost, gets baptized. And he was every day he went to church at 5 o'clock in the morning to pray, thanking God for his miracle. Because two young men said, my God is able. I see a need. My God is able. I'm going to pursue the promises of God. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And you know the rest. And Joshua had to make up in his mind, I'm not going back. I'm going to get that which was promised to me and my people. And they're going to have an inheritance. And if you want an inheritance for you and your children, you can't go back either. You got to go forward. You got to keep putting them in Bible quizzing and teaching them Sunday school and tell them it's important to pray. It's important to worship. You got to instill in your young people, God has given you a promise and you need to go after it, young person. Amen. You need to go, if you go into a public school, man, you need to tear it up. You need to go in there in the power of the Holy Ghost and pray in your halls, pray in the locker rooms, pray here, pray there, pray in your classrooms, and watch what God will do through you. Oh, but you're just a kid. You don't got a license. You don't got this. I got faith. And that's all I need. Faith in the Almighty God, and He's able to do all things. And God does all things how? Well. And you should go in your workplace and do the same. But sometimes we're so timid, we can't even bow our head and pray for our food because we're afraid somebody's going to see us. Getting quiet in here. I used to work construction. I know what construction guys are like. They're rude and crude. And they got to tell you about how much they drank and how many ladies they laid with and all this junk. But every time we ate, man, I bowed my head and I prayed. And one day we was doing this great big job, bigger than this church, probably three times bigger than this church, great big cattle barn. And we had sand all over the place. One of the guys started rolling around in the sand like a holy roller. Goes, oh, he's holy roller. And they was laughing at me. And I was crying inside because it's like, you don't know what you're doing. You're mocking the Almighty God. But when you would get alone with the very same guy that was rolling around in the sand, and you're in the truck with him, that guy would start bawling. He goes, I don't know what it is about you, but there's something about you. But they couldn't handle it with all the other guys around. They would mock you and make fun of you. But you know, when they had their Christmas party, the first year I was with that company, they had booze, they supplied it, and everybody got drunk except mom and me. Then the next year, they had booze, but you had to buy it. By the third year, they had no booze because of one man. And every time we got to eat our meal, guess what they did? Would you pray, Lenny Smith? And I would get up and I would pray for the meal and I'd pray for everybody else. And besides that, my boss was working me too much because I told her I only want to work 40 hours a week, not 60, because I want to teach Bible studies and do stuff for God. And she was working me too much. And I said, we got to have a talk, Ruth. And Ruth just said, well, come over Tuesday night. I'll make you supper and we'll talk. And she made this nice supper and all this stuff. And then she comes to the table and says, what gives? I said, get your Bible. I said, God wants to give you the Holy Ghost. So we went downstairs in her office. And for an hour, I went from Genesis to Revelations, teaching her a Bible study. I said, God's going to give you the Holy Ghost. This is my boss, Pastor. My boss. I'm sitting in this roller chair. She's sitting in that roller chair. When I said, we're going to pray for the Holy Ghost, she just slides out of her chair onto her knees and lifts up her hands. And I'm sitting back here going, my God, this is my boss. And she's on her knees with her hands up praying for the Holy Ghost. Well, I told her she was going to get it, so I guess she just believed it. And she prayed for a whole hour, man. She prayed. And by the time we kind of got done, she was sitting back in the roller chair. Man, she's praying for her kids and her family and for the business. I'm going, God, I know she's going to get it. But maybe not tonight. And sorry us, we don't have enough faith sometimes. I was back here praying in tongues back of her. And I walked up behind her. And I was about to say, Ruth, I know you're going to get it, but maybe not tonight. But before I could say anything, when I put my head over her shoulder, about to speak in her ear, man, she started speaking in tongues. Yes, Jesus, yes. And for a whole hour, she just spoke in tongues. Then she gets this glass of water and tries to say, are you going to baptize me? Going, no, it don't work that way. We need to trust God. Amen. God is able to do so much stuff through his people if you'll only believe. Even if it's your boss. Amen? Even if it's your boss. Go on. Luke chapter 9 and verse 59. And he said unto another, let's just skip that one. Let's go back to Joshua so we can wrap this up. Joshua 14 and verse 6. And the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenite, said unto him, thou knowest the things that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. This is now Caleb's 85 years old. They've already been in the promised land 5 years. And Caleb is saying, pull up verses 12 through 14, same chapter. Caleb is saying to Joshua, God promised Moses to give me the mountain, and I want it. He promised it me. How many times we could receive things from God, but we won't go to God and say, Lord, you promised this. It's in your word. And we don't take God to task. But God wants us to take him to task. That's why he said, handle me and see. Prove me and see if I will not pour you out a blessing. And we have to trust God enough that if he said it, he's going to do it. When you read verse 20 of Mark 16, it says, and they went everywhere preaching the word. And the Lord confirmed his word with signs following. When you preach God's word, he's going to do what he said through you. So Caleb says, I want the mountain. Look what it says in verse 12. It says, now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. Great and fenced. These are tough cities. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Joshua is just telling Caleb, you know, if the Lord's with me, ain't no problem. You got to say, brother, come. We're just going to make him the giant. Talking about the Anakins, get up there. Couple steps. A little higher. Okay. You're about probably the right height. Okay. So, I'm Caleb and the little guys. That's the Anakins. You know, the guys with six fingers and six toes and 7 to 9 feet tall. And they got arms like you got legs. They're big boys. And they don't pick up a pebble. They pick up a rock. And they're on the hill. Hebron. They're on the hill and they got great and fenced cities. And Caleb says, I'm going to take you out because God is with me. Yes, you're the giant. You're way bigger than me. And I got to go uphill. And you're going to be chucking these big rocks down at me. I know you are. But be of good fear or cheer, because I'm going to overcome you. And Caleb took out the giant. See, we sometimes can't trust God to take out the little things. When Caleb said, if God's with me, I'm taking him out. Somebody's going to die, and it ain't going to be me. It's going to be him. That's the way we need to face life. When you come against situations that think they're going to destroy you, say, no, Lord. I'm one of your children. I'm your child. And we're going to overcome this mountain. And it's going to be my inheritance. You know, Hebron became what? A refuge city. So my promise can be your refuge. Think about it. My promise can become your refuge. Thank you. And he overtook the mountain, possessing or pursuing the promise. Amen. Okay. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, and a lot of you know this scripture, I know that. Paul just says, I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When he said, I press towards the mark, it took some effort. It wasn't just give it to him, he was pushing, he was pressing. Amen? This is some of the things we struggle with. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and unto many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some covet after, They have erred from the faith. This isn't talking about just sinners. It's talking about people that were in the faith, but they have erred from the faith because of the riches of this world. You hear where I'm coming from? We got to be careful, church. And he goes on to say, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Who's doing the piercing? Themselves. It ain't somebody beating them up. It ain't Satan destroying them. They destroy themselves because they are connected to the things of this world and not connected to God. The most precious thing we have in God is our relationship with Him. Amen. We need to covet it. Amen. It is precious. Amen. To be able to be connected with the Master. Amen. We should never allow anything, work, family, possessions, to stop us from serving. Amen. Our Lord and Savior, the lover of our soul. Amen. Amen? They pierce themselves through. But, verse 11, thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after what? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight. The good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Thereunto that thou also called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. We got to fight the good fight of faith, church. God has given the church many, many promises. And the only reason we don't possess them is because we don't go after them. You have not because you ask not. If you don't knock, ain't going to be open. If you don't seek, you can't find. God has given us a way to do things. And it's just by getting connected to His Word, living a holy and righteous life, not of our righteousness, but of His, and then allowing God to fulfill His promises in us. So we can shine as the noonday. Church, I want to pursue and possess the promises of God. I'm going after them, and I hope you would do the same. We're living in these last days, and I believe these are the last days. God has given us a book full of promises. Do you know you got a promise every day of the year? There's over 300 plus promises in the book. So you can have a new promise every day. Say, Lord, I want another one today. Go after it and watch what God will do. Amen? The altar's open. You want to be used by God? Seek His face. Go after it. Say, Lord, I believe You. We can do this. Amen? Let's come to the altar and thank God for His promises, but not just thank Him. Say, I want to be a part of Your promises. I want to get involved with what You're doing in this world. I want to be connected. I want to be able to lay my hands on the sick that they do recover. I want to pray for those that are demon-possessed and they are delivered. I want to pray for the sick and that they can be raised up, and for the blinded eyes and they are open, for the lame that they shall walk. I want to be able to pray for those that know not God, but they might find Him. Because I wasn't afraid to open my mouth and preach the truth, to share the gospel with them. Church, we are so privileged. We have a God that loved us so much, that was willing to do all that He's done. And He has placed within our hands the ability to do the same that He has done. He wants us to do what He has done, but we got to die to self. So He can live in us and through us. We got to be willing to give Him all so He can use us. I want to make a difference in my world, in my community, in my family. I want to be able to reach into my school, into my workplace. And I want to make a difference. I don't want them to see me. I want them to see Jesus in me. Jesus, You can use me. I'm going to surrender myself to You.